Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You know, there's something very unique about New Zealand. It's so corrupt that corruption doesn't even get reported. Because all the people that are supposed to report corruption in this country are corrupt. You can't make this stuff up, bro. It's out of control.
It's just out of control.
My very special guest, Santos Bonacci, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what's funny? I put that on my Facebook status about how New Zealand is so corrupt that, you know, nothing, the corruption gets reported. And quite a few Australians said it's exactly the same over here.
Yeah. Yep, I remember one of the reporters that came to the courthouse when I was released. And one of my friends, I had 60-plus people turn up that day. Made the barrister poop his pants for the prosecution. Anyway, one of my friends asked him, what do you think of Santos and what he's doing? He says, he's just an attention seeker. That's what a reporter for the, I think it was Channel 10 or the Herald Sun, I forget now. That's what a reporter said to one of my sincere friends wanting to know what he thought of me, that I'm there trying to grab some attention. Now,
well, see, technically you were trying to get attention because it's a very important issue, but that's not the only reason you were there.
Exactly. It's on another level, it's exactly true, but on the level he's talking about, this is how shallow these reporters are. They are not reporting anything of truth or value. They are just, covering over with whitewash all of the stories how they should be told. These are immature imbeciles, really, that are reporting, and it's an indictment on them. And
I can verify that from the highest levels. We had award-winning journalist Ian Wishart, who's a host of the Sunday program, our equivalent of 60 Minutes over here, and he just told me on air point blank, the reporters that we got working in the mainstream media, they're just airheads, you know, just basically, is she pretty? Yep, she's pretty. Okay, put her in front of the camera. Can she think? No, she can't think. Can she repeat stuff without messing it up? Yep, she can. All right, she's good for the job. Go and get her to do it. Get somebody to write a government approved script for her, you know, and report on what the Prime Minister says as if it's news, you know. And in fact, this is another thing, Santos, that I really don't like about the media in particular, is let's say the president lies. Okay, let's say the president says, Obamacare is going to be good for people, right? And what they do is they report that Obamacare is going to be good for people, Barack Obama said. They don't say, he said Barack Obama's healthcare bill is going to be good for everybody, and that's probably BS because I've read the legislation, and it doesn't look like it's going to be good for anyone. Okay, so where's the journalistic vetting here? It doesn't freaking exist anymore. And I'm guilty of this too, you know, mind you. But the problem is, I'm not going around saying to everybody, I've got credibility, I work for mainstream media, believe me, believe me, believe me, because I'm telling you government lies that I repeat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad. These talking heads, they're going to truly, truly, deeply regret having partaken of the system of lies. It's really, really sad. It's sad to see our brothers who are taking a paycheck to tell lies, what they're doing to themselves and to humanity. It's truly sad. And what goes around, it comes around with interest. It really does. So
Could we back up just a tad, Santos? Because you're in court, reporter was telling you, but we haven't given people the full background story of all of and how this actually came to fruition. Would you mind walking us through that?
Yeah, look, I suppose they decided after 3 or 4 years that they would act upon unpaid tolls and traffic fines that I have, supposedly 132,000. dollars of and 400 warrants, infringement warrants out for me. Now I knew I had, you know, a bunch of stuff unpaid back in 2010 when a policeman, I was in court one day and a bunch of cops came up behind me and called out my name. I turned around and they had a pile of paperwork that they were going to serve on me, and I said no contract to these policemen, and so he threw the contracts, paperwork on the ground and said to me, "You've been served." And I remember he said something like $40,000 worth of fines back then, you know. So I knew that there was a figure there, and if they wanted to, they could, they could come and, you know, try and collect it. But what happened really was, I suppose, I didn't really need to go to jail for 9 days, and I didn't need to be in there for 9 days. I could have been out there from day one, but I, you know, refused bail at the start, and I did a stint of 9 days, but then I was released on bail. I took the bail. I signed that V.C. And I didn't sign anything at all going in and coming out apart from that bail. You see, they tried to get my signature many, many times. For instance, there's a doctor here. Would you like a doctor to come and see you? You just have to sign here. And I thought, I just said, well, I've never seen a doctor in my life. You know, why would I want to see one now? I'm as healthy as can be. Thank you very much. See you later. But the thing is, throughout the whole thing, I maintain my status as the witness, the live man, and I ain't going to create joinder with your fictional crap. So you haven't got me and you won't get me. And so the judges were kind of, you know, in that situation, really, unable to to fully execute their administrative procedure on me. But anyway, we go back on April the 1st and remedy the situation. And so what I'm doing philosophically, ideologically, more than practically here, is that I am making an example of the system and how fraudulent it is, and getting it out into the media that really, the system was designed to be prepaid, and we had our exemption by virtue of our estate, if you want to put it that way, connected to our birth certificate. So, you know, originally the system was in place. It was a prepaid system, and so we are all exempt, you know, and I'm showing Australians how we can regain our power and our authority by exposing any way possible the fraudulent nature of this toll paying. You know, if you go by the Australian Constitution, for instance, Section 92 says that all journeying and travelling by are we called servants of the Queen or subjects of the Queen? Is that right? Of the Commonwealth, subjects of the Commonwealth.
I don't know. I just prefer to be called a slave.
Yeah, something like that anyway. But all of that was protected in our Australian Constitution. It's protected in the Bill of Rights. It's protected in the Magna Carta, Article 41, that all journeying should be free and there shall be no evil exactions. In the Magna Carta, evil exactions would be tolls. So if you want to go quoting there, you know, their legal constitutions and documents, there's enough in there to expose that it's all fraudulent. But where I'm coming from is from another level altogether. I'm saying, why are we always paying and paying and paying and paying and giving away all of our power? We are the ones, supposedly, we made government. Government didn't make any man or woman. So it was, it's a man-made thing. And what is its purpose? Well, its primary purpose is to protect property. So why don't we keep it to that and say, look, you dudes there in those offices in your boring little jobs and your suit and tie creepy uniforms, if you want to, you can sit behind the desks, and what you do is you protect our property, right? Otherwise, we're going to slam your ass into jail because we made you and we'll even pay you to do this dumbass boring job. Thank you very much. How they got so much power is...
Through our consent, yeah.
Exactly. It's the biggest joke in history how idiots like Barack Obama and Julia Gillard, you know, total nappy-wearing ignoramuses with so much power. It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Empty-headed buffoons. Morons of the highest, or should I say, lowest caliber.
Can I always wonder, and I know the answer, you know, why do morons always get these positions of authority? It's because morons don't know how to think creatively, because they don't change things, because morons don't mind being bought off or being told what to do themselves, and they want to perpetuate it. That way, it's a hell of a lot easier to control it from 60,000 feet without even needing to lay a hand on anybody. You just give them the money, and the world's your oyster.
Well, you know, they are suffering mind control equally as much as everybody else. It's all the whole system. No one escapes the control. It's all controlled. And they are controlled too, and hence they are in their lower minds, their lower nature, their lower selves. They would be in the bottom three chakras. Their bodies would be acidic. They're on the high road to dying of heart disease and cancer. They are full of stress, wrinkles, aging. They're obsessed with their gluttons, basically. They eat like gluttons, like pigs, and they are on an acidic path to destruction, really. And you can see it. I can see people's when people are wrinkly and tired looking, it's because their magnetic toroidal field is depleted of its electric vitality. You see, it's centered by magnetism and it's powered by magnetism and it's operated by electricity, and you can see, you can feel their auras, you can feel their vortex is depleted. Everything is a vortex. Every sound, every atom, every element, every planet, every part of the universe is a vortex. And the vortex, in the center of the vortex, like a hurricane, you'll see like a tornado, you'll see all the things, all the objects that are collected, they all go around into the eye of the tornado, you see. So what you're seeing is a vortex, and that's how planets and human bodies exist. They exist by vortexes. So I sense that. I don't see it. Some people are synesthetic and they can see people's auras and stuff like that. I sense them, and you can quite easily feel and sense the depleted auras that people are walking around in. They are totally flat. No energy, no real vital force there, because they're eating crappy food, which depletes that energy and saps it out. You know, this is why Asian people practice offering fruit at their altars to their gods, you know, and people think they're silly and antiquated and traditional, etc. But there's a reason, because there are vortexes all over the place, and they feed off the vortex of the fruit, the energy. They eat the spiritual energy, the magnetic energy of the fruit. The fruit remains. This is why you always see fruit that they place on an altar in the morning, it gets very, very old and depleted by the evening, and they have to put fresh fruit on there. You can't just leave it there. I mean, you know, you can have you can sit it there for a couple of days if that's part of your ritual, but the gods, quote unquote, require fresh sacrifices. You see, this is what the sacrifice is. We don't just feed our vortexes. We feed all the other elementals around us too. You know, they want to feed too. And so these are gift offerings. These are what we do to make better energy around us. We leave some flowers in our homes. Why do we like to have a bunch of fresh flowers? Well, because it's their vortexes are vibrating with our vortexes and giving us energy. The aromas and the atoms and molecules that are and perfumes that are being emanated from these plants restore our auras and give our vortexes more charge. You see, so this is why fresh fruits and fruits are offered to the gods.
What's the significance of that, though?
Well, you're showing appreciation because one day you will be a vortex without a body too. You see, when the body...
Well, are you talking about like transcendence, like out of the 3D into the 5D or something like that?
Yeah, well, vortexes, when in the center of a vortex is a body, a planet, a living being, and all of these material physical beings have certain duration in time to exist, but their vortex, you see, it continues to create another body as needed according to its vibration and energy. So your vortex is quite large. It's a great, big, powerful magnetic field that is keeping your body composed. It's keeping all the atoms orchestrated so that your body can live for a certain amount of time. All of that is done by your vortex. Vortexian energy. And so our sun, being the primary of the solar system, has the master vortex. It's called Tao Sang. That's the name, the true name of the sun's vortex. And or you can call it the master. Or it was called the great serpent. You see, because this is where serpent worship comes from, because everything is serpents, spiraling vortexes. And so the sun was called the solar phalanx. A phalanx is another word for finger. And so it's like a finger. And this master, Tao Sang, has enveloped all the other vortexes of the solar system. The Earth's, the moon has captured the moon's, but the Earth's vortex extends far beyond the moon, about 20 or 30,000 miles beyond the moon, right? So she's got – our Earth has a beautiful vortex, but the open vortexes like the sun's, the primaries, these are the primary sources of light for solar systems. And so all of this teaching about atomic physics and gravity and all of this, it's all erroneous because they don't understand that the reason why things fall to the Earth is because of the vortex of the Earth. And so everything wants to go to the center where the vortex has channeled all its energy. It goes from east-west, it comes from east-west at the equator, and it goes into the Earth. And then it escapes out of the North Pole, you see, and it's a toroidal sort of a vortex, you see, and that's how you have bodies. All bodies are vortexes, you see, and in our solar system there are at least 8,000 planets that are still vortexes and planets in the making. We can't see them. Our physical eyes cannot see them, but there's, according to occult science, there's at least 8,000 of these planets that are invisible to our eyesight.
But also there's the other part of the things, is because matter isn't totally stable in and of itself. Like, did you hear about that that twin slit thing where they found out that electrons would act like marbles when you weren't watching them, or they would act like sound waves when you weren't watching them going through a hole, and they would come up with this pattern on the back. And they would act like marbles when they were being watched. So what that has concluded for me is that we're not really able to create matter per se. We're able to actually very, very strongly influence almost everything that's there around us.
Yeah, it's what they're looking at is the work of the wave. The secret of creation lies in the wave. It's a wave universe, a thought wave universe. So everything you see is a thought of the demiurge, of the archon, of Jehovah, the creator god of electricity. It's the magnetic knowing God, the unnamed Ein Sof, prime creator, creating a world of thought. And it's waves. So what they're seeing is the wave. You see, when they describe an electron as opposed to a proton and a neutron, what they don't realize is they're describing the same thing. It's all one thing. An electron is a proton. A proton is an electron. It's Walter Russell explained this perfectly. He said if when an electron is expanding to the wave amplitude, that's called an electron. When it's contracting, that is a proton. You see, so what they're looking at and naming all of these little individual separate parts in atomic physics is the same thing in different places, in different parts of the wave. See, they don't understand the wave. The secret of creation lies in the wave. That's why all my presentations are based on the wave. And the best wave to examine and dissect is the ecliptic. The path of the sun. Well, astronomers start their ecliptic at 0 degrees right ascension of meridian. That's Greenwich Mean Time in the skies. RAM, RAM, right ascension of meridian. This is why the sign Aries is the first sign in astronomy. And everything, if you're gonna go to Google Sky and you're gonna find the coordinates of, say, Sirius, for instance, well, you'll find that Sirius will be at around about 6.5 hours or 6 hours, 45 minutes, right ascension of meridian. And so you're going to have to know about your right ascension, and you're going to have to know about declination, because you want to know how far south Sirius has declined from the ecliptic. You know, she might be about, I don't know, I forget, 21 degrees negative declination, but she is at 6 hours 45 minutes right ascension of meridian, because she's in Cancer, and Cancer is exactly that far away from 0 degrees right ascension of meridian, which is in Aries. And so unless you know these sciences and you can explore the wave on the ecliptic, you will truly never ever understand how the universe is made and how to unveil Isis and look behind her veil. It's in the wave. And hiding in the word wave, you'll see the word Eve, or Ave, as the Latins call her, Ave Maria. Yeah, the wave. It is the wave, the sine wave. And of course, the sine wave looks like a serpent. It's the serpent on the tree that seduced Eve, our mother. The sine wave is the sin wave, the sin of Eve. And the eating of the apple simply just means that, you know, the fall of man from his magnetic, pure life to that of body. That's all it is. And hence being clothed with a sine wave. Our body is just a bunch of waves. The sin of Eve, the sine wave.
So it's like that's all that electrons can be, is either waves or matter. I'm sorry, you might have lost me there.
No, I didn't finish that. You're right. I should have completed that. The particle is really an observation of what the wave is doing. It's the way, it's a wave universe, not particle. You know, the particle is just what we are capturing with our vision. We are seeing this illusion, and that's how powerful this illusion is, that we actually see a particle where there is not one. You know, it's really just, it's waves. It's a bunch of, it's a collection of waves. This is why they keep trying to go down as far as they can subatomically to name as many of these illusional particles. You know, what do they call them now? The real small particles. You got some names there. Neutrinos, for instance. Okay, things like that. Walter Russell, he just laughed and he said all of these. Actually, I'll see if I can find the quote and read it. You'll get a giggle out of it. I think it's going to be worth my while.
Who's Walter Russell? I don't even know who Walter Russell is.
Yeah. Oh, you will really do well researching. I'd get the book A New Concept of the Universe and The Secret of Light by Walter Russell.
Yeah.
Marvelous. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff on him, not in a, you know, in any great kind of way. I'm not bragging about how well I teach Russellian science, but you know, I give it a go.
Well, there's the other element here as well. When you're thinking about sources and what have you, a lot of people aren't actually aware of all these different influences. And I think this is one of the things I've really appreciated about having a radio show, is that you actually get to interview authors and things of this nature, and these important thinkers by which other people base their ideas and their research and thoughts upon. And you get to converse with them on a personal level. And I think you've kind of become one of those people to a degree, haven't you, Santos?
Well, only to the point that I've done a lot of study. You know, I've done a lot of, I love researching, and all my life I've just researched and researched. And I don't have any fiction books in my collection at all. You know, I've never read one in my life. It's all history. And just books of great etymological and anthropological value, you know. And so I feel like the great Giovanni Pico della Mirandola, who said the divine providence has caused certain books to fall into my hands. He said that in the late 1400s, writing to his master Massilio Ficino. And I feel like that too. Just all the best books just drop into my hands, and I'm very fortunate that I know how to archive information. You know, I learned how to do this at a very young age when I started learning languages: Italian, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Japanese. I learned how to read and write Arabic, Hebrew, Greek, Japanese. I did that all myself. How I did that was you've got to archive things by association in your head. You see, it's like a computer. If you name a file and then you just drop it into Documents and you haven't got another folder with a specific name, you could be there for hours looking for that file. You know it's there. And this is how people are always scratching around trying to, you know, connect the dots in their head. Syncretism is the art of connecting all things in your head. And I'm very fortunate that that I've developed a lot of techniques which have enabled me to, you know, be able to just pull the information out because it's all put in the right files and archives, you know. Anyway, I found the quote, and here's what Walter Russell says in A New Concept of the Universe, page 61. The scientist has not only divided matter into 92 different kinds of substances, but he has divided these 92 substances into atomic systems made up of many more minute particles of somewhere around 20 primal substances. These he calls electrons, protons, neutrons, antineutrons, antiprotons, photons, gravitons, mesons, kappa mesons, positive mu mesons, negative mu mesons, positive pi mesons, negative pi mesons, neutral pi mesons, tau mesons, positive V particles, negative V particles, neutral V particles, and so on, without an end as yet in sight of the many non-existent substances. They so convincingly act their parts in producing the mirages of substance in this universe that the greatest scientists of this world have not the slightest suspicion that the many different substances of matter are but different states of motion. Different states of motion. The reason for this great confusion is because scientific observers started out with the wrong premise from the very beginning, with an unwarranted belief given to the evidence of their sciences, of their senses. Science, ever since Democritus, has been searching for an irreducible unit of matter which would account for the universe. It never seems to have occurred to any of the great thinkers of the ages that creation could not create itself. Just as the picture does not paint itself, but must have its source in the painter, or as the poem cannot write itself, but must also have its creator poet, so likewise must the master drama of cause and effect have its creator playwright who conceived the idea of creation and gave it form. The time has come in man's mental unfoldment when he must recognize that all idea is eternal in the zero equilibrium of the still magnetic light of universal mind, which is God. And that idea is but manifested in motion of body forms by polarized circles. These appear from the eternal zero and must disappear into that zero in order that they may reappear in endless cycles. So if you look at things cyclically, you can understand, and cycles are waves. They're not particles, they're waves. And so you'll begin to see how still white magnetic light produces polarized light, which is just motion. And you'll have left-brain scientists in their laboratories trying to define all of these subatomic particles and non-existent substances.
I never understood the whole passion to only use half your brain.
Okay. Well, they're not using only half. They're only using 10%, because the left brain is only like random access memory type brain, and it's only able to it's only able to operate at 10%. The 90% is in the right hemisphere. This is why, you know, tithing is all about getting out of the 10% and getting into the 90%. You know, it's about getting to the right hemisphere is connected to cause. It's connected to source. The left is disconnected. It's linear. It's sequential. And it does not know the cause. It doesn't know its own cause. This is how stupid atheists are. You know, they deny their own. They actually deny God, which is themselves. They've turned themselves into meat sticks.
I always find that funny whenever I'm arguing with an atheist, is they always kind of talk down to you. You know, they treat you like you're stupid, and, oh, you're anti-science or whatever, you're just so retarded, and, you know, they use all these insults. It's like they have to compensate for denying that they have a higher self by acting like a complete lowlife and talking down to you.
Yeah, they're basically just saying, I'm just a meat pie. And, you know, you sound funny with all your spiritual talk. You're freaking me out. You're really weird. It's because they're basically just at they're operating at dunce capacity, you know, 10% of their consciousness. That's it. They are totally – it's like a child, you know, children before the age of 7, I think it is, they always refer to themselves in the third person, you know. I remember my son's nieces just recently referring to themselves, you know, as the third person. They don't realize, you know, that they can speak in the first person. So what they're doing really is they're doing the same thing. It's just exposing and announcing to the world publicly and officially that they are declaring that they are in denial of all of their selves. And this is the hot water we get ourselves into. These people will go to court and they'll get slammed into jail at the drop of the hat because they don't know who they are. And judges know that. This is why a judge will always say to you, who are you? Are you Mr. Bonacci? Now, when they use the word you, they're looking for you to understand that you is plural and not just singular. And so if you respond, I am Santo Bonacci, sir, or anything similar to that, they've got you because they know that you are in denial of your complete other parts, your spiritual, your mental, your etheric, and your... soul. This is why if you respond, we are, and when you go to court, you only address yourself as we. We let the court know that we, that's how I would be addressing any court, let the court know that we. And so once you use the plural, because the judge has already given you that offer. He's already made you that offer. And see, these atheists, you'll find that there's a lot of them in jail because they're dunces, because they'll go around, I. They're not going to accept that they are a we. They're not going to accept that they've got a spirit and a soul. You know, they think that's all hocus pocus, you know, hippie talk. New age talk.
It's almost like some kind of a Satanist plot to get people to deny God exists so that they could work for their side without accepting anything, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's really just playing the dumb against themselves so that they can control the dumb. And the dumb are a bunch of atheists, really, and believers on the other side. Both atheists and believers, non-believers and believers are morons, really. And the world... The elite, the oligarchs, they know that. They know that's how it works.
Especially believers.
Yeah.
Which are Justin Bieber fans. Absolute morons.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they go to church and they believe in Jesus. Well, they're just as, you know, dunces as the atheists. It's the knowers. It's the knowers who rise above these two goy, lower-minded, Gentile, unconscious, let the dead bury their dead types, you know. And so all I'm doing is urging the meat sticks to wake up and realize that you are not an I, you are a we. You are a compound, you know. And this is where many, many people have walked out of courtrooms, administrative courts, because they knew who they were. They knew that they were divine, and they addressed the judge as we. We ask the court to restore our property. You see, they realize that the court is there to protect your property. and they realize that they are not individuals. They are not I.
So it's almost like if you were Gollum, you'd work out really well in court.
We'd be nice to you if you'd be nice to us.
Exactly. And why does the Queen ponce around as a sovereign and address herself as we? We are happy to be here today to memorialize blah, 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 blah. You know, it's always we. And so why is that? Because the Queen has, you know, she's wearing a crown. She's supposedly, she should have a crown chakra opened up, and she should know that she is, you know, a composite being. And that we are made of many levels here. You know, it's not just a meat stick. So, yeah, good luck to the meat sticks, the atheists and the believers, and good luck to them. You know, go on worshipping your false idols, but will be deluded nonetheless.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of how Jesse Ventura won the governorship of Minnesota. There's somebody doing right-wing politics, but it was kind of very centered, and then somebody doing left-wing politics, and it was very centered. So Jesse Ventura comes in, and he just starts telling the truth, and he got most people supporting him, so the people on the right and the people on the left had to become more extreme in order to get enough votes in order to even count, and they both lost. That's what happens when you got lies on both sides and truth coming up the middle. You just soak up all the ground.
Is this when he went for governor years ago?
Many years ago, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it also goes to show that that people really do want some really good people in office. Whether we need officers in the future or not, it looks like we, you know, if we raise the consciousness level of humanity enough.
I think with the advent of the internet, we can completely decentralize government and make it work for everybody really, really efficiently, because it's all user access now.
Yep. Spot on.
You know, you don't need government head offices or anything. Everybody can work from home with the internet.
What will be
the need for all this expense? It's like, we need like a $8 million court for the new New Zealand Supreme Court. $8 million court? How many judges you got in that $8 million court? Eight. $1 million a judge? Are you freaking kidding me? And then they pass laws right after that saying that the judges don't even have to turn up to court and they could just do it via video link. And guess who opened the court? Prince William.
Yeah. A lot of the judges was like that, because when they have to turn up to court, that takes a lot of pedophile time away from their schedule, you know. So they can.
Well, they only really want to be filmed from the waist up.
Yeah, absolutely. They can engage in more pedophilia now. So if they do video link ups, and I'm not being cynical at all, it has absolutely been exposed that there is a great, great, strong element of pedophilia in the bar, the Crown. And all of these creepy institutions.
I spoke to a dude outside a protest of the Auckland High Court, Santos, and he said one day he'd been trying to get his daughter back from the pedophiles for like about 3-4 years kind of thing. He said one day he just gave up and he said, you know what? Today I'm either going to jail or I'm getting my freaking daughter back. And he got his daughter back. What did he do? He accused the judge of being a pedophile, and he got her back.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's a hot topic getting around in the sovereignty circles about calling your children property and rather than children, because children is a legal term and they have jurisdiction over children, but they are there to serve and protect our property. So a lot of parents have been getting their children back by writing, when they turn up to court, writing notes saying we require, I think it's restitution or restoration. One is the correct term to use and one is incorrect. You need to check out the work of Carl Lentz to find out which is the correct one, but I think it's restitution. You require restitution of your property. They do not like the word property. They poop their pants when they hear property. And if you correctly call your children property and your wife and everything that is proper to you, because that's what property really means, what is proper to you. Now, if your children have got your DNA, they are proper to you, not to the government, who does not have the same DNA as your children have in them. Therefore, they are your proper to you property.
Well, it works out well for the farmers at any rate. And there's the other element here as well, is that people don't realise that the government frickin' owns you, you know? It's quite a scary thing. I mean to come from this. I don't know what it's like for people, because I found out that I was a slave long after I got over the stress of the New World Order extermination plot and everything like that. And you know, when you get into the legal fiction things, it like sprouts off this whole new kind of nexus of rabbit holes that go in every direction. Right? It's kind of confusing. And so imagine how frustrating it is to go from believing in the system, working every day, raising your kids, doing what you think is right, and then realizing that you're a freaking slave, and you've actually got like a serial number that you can find out on the stock exchange how much you're worth.
Yeah, well, I mentioned how Rome set this system up many years ago, and you know, it's easy to see the analogy with the ancient Roman slave system. When they conquered a nation, they went out of their way to save the virgins and the young boys and the healthy, good-looking members of that that country that they annexed or conquered, because they would then use them as slaves. And so, you know, a beautiful, sexy, curvaceous 17, 18-year-old virgin, they could take her back to Rome and they could get top, top dollar. A handsome, tall, strong 18-year-old boy who is skilled in many, many things, you know, he's going to get top dollar. But a 90-year-old woman or man that's got broken, you know, knees and full of arthritis, they're probably just going to knock them on the head because they're killers, or you know, get $2 or $3 in the slave market. So this is why, on our birth certificates, they want to know what the profession of your parents are. So one's a doctor and the other one's a dentist. Well, this child, the banksters will bid more for that bond than say. Parents who are unemployed and, you know, on what we call the dole, you know, so perhaps the former you would get $10 million, say, for example, right, hypothetically speaking, whereas the latter, $20,000, right? So it's still the same system. This is why the parents are informers, because they are informers betraying their children to the state, and the state's going to sell that bond to the highest bidder. So they want information. They want informers, and the parents give that information. The father says, hey, I'm a doctor. Well, that's great. You know, that's going to raise your bond, the value of your bond. And the mother says, well, I'm a housewife. Whoops. Well, that's going to drop it down a bit. You know, so, and that's why they wanted to get women out in the workforce, you know, so that housewives are now dentists and whatnot. And now, so you've got, now they've got two precious bonds and they're making more money from the slave trade. And so, you know, it's cruel. It's a sick system, and my work is there to expose it all. All of it, all of its parts, all of its fictional parts. Syncretism is the answer. Period. There's no other answer. The answer is in the wave.
Don't you reckon, though, Santos, that because we're all part of this the system and what have you, and we're all kind of got our own motivations and whatnot, that there could be actually many, many ways of getting to that one truth? You know what I'm saying? How that that old saying, everybody comes to the truth in their own way.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Well, some are finding it through Islam, some through Christianity, some through Judaism. You know, those are true languages, true philosophies. The monotheistic corporate churches that claim to come from them, these are just aberrations run by pedophiles. But I can read the Quran and be enlightened. I can read the Bhagavad Gita and be enlightened. And I've proven in my syncretism that they are all teaching the one science, the science of light on the ecliptic. That's all they're teaching. They're not teaching anything else. They're just teaching that. That's all the sacred books that have ever been written by any philosopher or prophet or astrologer or anyone, bar none of them, have ever written about light and how it works. So, yeah, you know.
Well, and that's what the Illuminati is supposed to be about, according to them Dan Brown novels, isn't it? You know, we're the enlightened ones.
Well, the thing with illumine is the consonants that make that word, L-M-N, you'll find those letters in the middle of the alphabet, L-M-N, L-M-N-O-P. And that comes from the word lumen. Now, lumen is electric light, whereas magnetism is lux, divine light. We are made from lux, and we are made from lumen. So this lumen, see, Mary, she's called Maria Luminatrix. So the Illuminati are basically dealing in polarized light. Illumination is dealing with that light. So what they're telling you is that there's a dualistic thing going on there. They are neither good nor evil. They are both. They're playing both sides. They do it so well just to keep us in duality, which is an offshoot of polarity. Duality is a religion, a false religion that people believe in, you know, and it comes from polarity. And so the Illuminati, yeah, they're illuminated, sure, but they're also adept in the dark sciences. And that's what Luminatrix is telling you. It's a different kind of light. It's mundane light, whereas lux is divine light. And speaking of which,
apparently the eyes emit light, right? Did you hear that?
Of course they do. Yeah. Our bodies emit light. We are light bearers.
And what was the other thing? There was just a study that came out recently that says that people can actually feel the evil eye. You know, like if you're like staring at somebody from miles away and you really, really hate them, apparently they can feel it.
Yeah, these are creepy individuals that have learnt how to sabotage other people's vortexes by infiltrating them, parasiting off them, and manipulating their energy fields. And the number one way that they have done that, the oligarchs through history, is agriculture and hybridized food, the food supply. They've poisoned the food supply. People are worried about chemtrails and the air supply, and they're worried about the fluoride in the water, you know, the water supply. They haven't looked to the most important aspect of it all, the food. It's the food that is 90% of the trouble. And the religion of cooked food, you see all these shows about cuisine on Foxtel, you know. Oh, we've got Anthony Bourdain and he's going to make the world's best hamburger. And you'll see him there full of, you can see that he's just full of animal poo in his body because he eats meat. And there he is and he's made this hamburger and he's gorging his face like a glutton on there. And you've got all these people watching it. And, oh, I'm going to make that hamburger. Oh, you know, and all they're doing is ingesting dead poo because it's cooked. The word cooked tells you all. When you cook the books, when you cook the head.
Oh, bro, but even in Japan, they've literally made a form of meat out of recycled poo. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They're insane. There's no end to their technology.
I mean, it just takes, oh, this food tastes like crap, to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah, it's disgusting. Look, hang on, I'll just...
Well, in fact, there's a good time to go to a break, actually. We'll be right back, folks.